I got it working today. I don't need my glasses for up close. It's a world, weird world that I live in. You have your Bibles, turn to John, page 174 in my New Testament. The book of John, not 1 John, not 2 John, not 3 John, 0 John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 15. Everybody's so quiet today. Oh, thank you. Chapter 15, everybody there? Nope, still waiting on Robert. Come on, Robert. Chapter 15, verse 1. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Version. I would like to read out of a different version, but this is the one I have. Chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch that dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as my Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm not an eloquent speaker, but God, I pray that you will convey what it is that you have for us to hear this morning. God, I pray that we will see your face. God, that we will hear your heart. And God, that we will be called to action in your name. All these things I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I read through this and I kind of felt like there was a congruent theme or a recurring theme. Can anybody guess what that is? Oh, good, Cindy. You were listening. Abide. How many times did Jesus say, abide in me? A bunch. That's right. That's the best Sunday school answer I've ever heard in my life. I didn't go through and count. That would be too studious of me to do that and would require me to write. So I didn't do that. But it did it a lot. Several times Jesus reiterated that he is the vine, we are the branches, and one time he spoke that God was the, what? Vine dresser is what this version said. I'm sure other versions probably had other things to say. In plain speak, God's the vineyard owner, the farmer, the executor, all that good stuff. He owns everything, right? He owns all the vines. He's the one who planted them all. He's the one who gets to decide what they do. Jesus is the vine. It doesn't say he is vines. It says he is the vine. One, the only vine, right? We, the people, are the branches. Now, we live in, well, I don't live here, but y'all do. But where I live, there's a lot of grapevines too. Different kind of grapes for a different purpose. But y'all see these vines, right? So how long do you think those vines would be if there was just one trunk and they just let it go? It'd go forever, wouldn't it? They keep them pruned up. They plant other ones so that they can intermingle and they can get lots of them. But we're lucky we got the super vine, right? I'm going to call it the super vine. That's Jesus. With limitless number of branches coming off of it. And that's us. That's the church. Right? Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. So if the branches were out there by themselves, what would happen? Anything? They die. Would they have grapes on them? You ever seen grapes on a vine with no, or grapes on a branch with no vine? Doesn't happen, does it? I wonder why. What about the vine? Does the vine do anything by itself? No. So you can't have just vines going along the trestle. You got to have that root, right? You got to have that being planted. That vine is complete, right? I wonder how come Jesus chose this analogy. You ever wonder? Why did Jesus talk about grapes so much? One of their products. One of the crops of the day. Sorry, I'm kind of informal. You guys know that. Plus my hip hurts. So I'm going to lean on this thing. Do we make life way more complicated than it has to be? I think so. And in that, I think that we make Christian life way more complicated than it has to be. Why do we do that? I think it's this right here. We overthink things. So Jesus says in this passage, if you abide in me, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to do the things that I want you to do. You're going to be the holy people that I've called you to be. You're going to be the loving children that I desire. You're going to be the cream of the crop. You're going to be the best. Really, Cindy? Really? Donuts? Right yes. Here in front of me?
Yes.
Mercy. God has called us to so much more than just singing a few songs on Sunday and lifting his name up one day of the week. He's called us from every moment that we wake up, for every person we come in contact with, for every trial that we have during the week, of every day, to call out to him and say, Father, help me. Live through me. Help me to be who you want me to be. So why don't we do it? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. The simple answer is, we just aren't smart enough to do it. And now before you say, he just called me dumb, I'm talking to myself first, okay? I'm just not smart enough to rely on God and to listen to God in everything in my life. Because if I was smart enough, I wouldn't be selfish. If I was smart enough, I wouldn't be self-centered. If I was smart enough, I would love him more than I love myself. Wouldn't I? So I'm just boiling it down to I'm not smart enough. Truth is that I really don't love God enough. I don't love him in the same way that he loves me. And I'm just being honest with you. And I bet if we were alone, we could probably agree that you would probably say, well, you know, Gary, I probably don't either. I probably don't love him the way that he loves me. And that should strike right here. And it should make us think, because what did Jesus do for us? Well, yeah, Bill, he did do that. But he got beat to death. He got dragged through the street. He got spit upon. He got a crown of thorns smashed into his head. He got stabbed with a spear. He got his flesh ripped from his body. He got nailed to a cross. And we worry about what we're going to have for lunch. That doesn't sound fair, does it? Enough of the doom and gloom for the moment. Jesus said, abide in me. And if I abide in you, right? No. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. So we have a Savior. We have a God who has promised that he will abide in us and live within us. Not some God that lives on a keychain. Not some God that lives in a statue at a temple. Not some God that lives in a stick or in a memory. A living God who abides in his people. That's amazing, right? Is there any other God who does that? No, there's not. Buddha doesn't live in the hearts of his people, despite what Buddhists think. Despite what Muslims think, Allah does not live in their heart. Something's there, but it ain't God. Because there is only one God, big G, backwards to me. There's only one God. There's only one Son. There is only one Spirit. And folks, they live here in us. At the same time they live in me, they live in Bill. And when I say they, I mean all of them together. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can bear what? No fruit. So if we expect to do something glorious, something great for God, if we're not on the vine, what can we expect? Zip, nada, finito, nothing. Apart from Jesus, ain't nothing happening. Robert asked me if we were going to have football references today. I said no. Or he said, what about Star Wars? I said, no Star Wars. Sorry. We're sticking to farming today. Apart from God, life is meaningless. Everything we do is futile. It doesn't matter. I could be the most successful person at body shopping, because that's what I do during the week. I work at a body shop. My friend used to call working on cars mechanicking. I didn't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to call it body shopping, okay? I could be the most successful person at working at a body shop, and it doesn't mean anything if I don't have God right here. If I don't have Jesus right here, everything I do is meaningless. If I don't love the way that Christ loved, if I don't live the way Christ lived, if I don't think the way Christ thought or thinks, I'm just existing, waiting to die. God has called us to so much more. God has called us to be His hands, His feet, His mouth. He's called us to live for Him. Amen? Amen. Come on, get a little more excited. Amen. What has God called you to today? Has He called you to be an usher? Has He called you to be a deacon? Has He called you to be in charge of the kitchen? Has He called you to be a missionary? Look at verse 11. I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 10. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus is the example, right? Right? Say yes. Absolutely. Come on now, everybody say it. Yes, absolutely. How do we know that? The Bible just said it, right? Verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So Jesus said all these things for what reason? Did he say it so that he could just blow their minds and tell them how to work with grapes? Is that why he said all that stuff? No. I think he told them that stuff so that they would understand, if you want to do what the Father has for you, you've got to do what I do, because he is the example. The example that he had was he abides in the Father, and the Father abides in him. So we have to abide in Jesus Christ. Now, I will venture to say that we don't really understand what that means. Our Western thought process doesn't really coincide with the thought process that they had back then. How many people agree with that? We should all raise our hands, because we don't understand how those people lived back then. We try, but we don't get it. Our Western minds think, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to say what I want to say, I'm going to act the way I want to act, and at the end of the day, when I get paid, I'm going to spend my money the way I want to spend my money. Would you say that's Western thought? I would say it is today. It probably hasn't always been like that. There was a time in this country when people thought more about others than they thought about themselves. But we're not at that place anymore. It's always me, me, me. And occasionally, maybe I'll help my neighbor. Maybe I'll help my friend. My really close friends. Right? Is that what God called us to? This is where you go, absolutely not, Gary. What does the Bible say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We said that last week, didn't we? Well, I said it. You guys kind of echoed it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, right? Everything that is in you needs to love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Last time I checked, loving the Lord your God with all your being does not include keeping stuff from him, does it? Now, immediately your mind went right to money, didn't it? But I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your treasure. Your time. Your thoughts. The things you like to do in your downtime. I'm going to stab at you right now because I'm stabbing at myself. Everything that you do, everything that I do, if it doesn't glorify God and if it's not the plan that he called us for, it is absolutely the wrong thing to do. Let me say that again. If we don't do the things that God has called us to do, if we're not living our life daily for God and the things that God has called us for, then we are living our lives for ourselves. And that is not what God called us to do. Because God called us to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Everything in our life should be about God. From the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. And I know we're all guilty of not doing that. And I'm right here with you. I'm in front. I'm leading the pack. And what's the second part of that stuff? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Would we do to ourselves the things that we do to our neighbors? Oh, I'm really guilty of this because there's been times where I've thrown trash in my neighbor's yard because it's in my yard, right? How'd that get there? That's not mine. It's got to be his. And if you really don't like your neighbors and your dog leaves a mess in your yard, you can launch it over the fence with a shovel, right? That's not the love of God. But Satan gets a hold of your heart. When you're not focused on God, when I'm not focused on God, it allows Satan to get a hold. It allows him to squeeze down just a little bit and put something in your mind. It allows him to whisper in your ear and say, Gary, hey buddy, you know this is what makes you happy. Meanwhile, I know that God calls me to live righteously. God calls me to live as Jesus lived. And God calls me to love my neighbor as I love myself. God calls me to love him more than I love everything else. But sometimes I fail. Does that mean it's the end of the world? Praise God, it does not. Because Jesus did all those things that we talked about a minute ago. He died for me. He died for you. He paid a price so that we could be made holy in the sight of God. But friends, the story doesn't end at how bad a people we are. The story ends with Jesus standing before God saying, "Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. I will pay the price. I will take that punishment." That's where that story ends. But we still have to try our best to abide in Him. We got to learn. We got to work on being a neighbor, a good neighbor. We got to work on being a daily follower of God. That's what He's called us for. He didn't call us to this world to be meanness and judgment and retribution. He called us to this world to be light, hope, to be a beacon of love. Amen? Amen. I don't know any other way to say what this says other than to read it and take it literally. I'm sure there are people out there that could preach a fabulous sermon on, you know, all of these things and get all theological and doctrinal with you. But all I can say is, it seems pretty clear that I can't live without Jesus. I can't live the life that He has called me to live without following Him, without daily looking and asking and wanting to be the branches off the vine. If I don't want to do that, then I'm not going to be the guy that God called me to be. I have to want to do that. And that's what He's called us to do. So my challenge to you guys is seek what God has called you to do. And it could be anything. It could be as simple as, hey, I'm going to be the person that comes to the church and prays for the lost. Because no job is too small. No job is what I like to think of as a trash job. You know, remember that show, Dirty Jobs? That was a great show. There were a lot of jobs people didn't want to do. But then there was a lot of people that did those jobs, and they're thankless jobs, but they still have to get done. So what is it God has called you to do? What is it God has called you to be? You got to figure that out. I can't tell you. Otherwise, that would just be me trying to plug holes. But whatever God has called you to do, that is for you and God. Let's pray. God, I pray today that that with the things that You've said, God, that You would move our hearts. God, that You would allow our spirit to be moved to a place where, God, we realize that You paid the ultimate price in Your Son Jesus. God, that we could be with You eternally. And God, we thank You for that. And I know that each and every one of us here, we don't fully comprehend the price that was actually paid. But God, we pray that daily you would reveal it to us and remind us, God, that we are benefactors of something more than this world has to offer. God, I praise you. I honor you today. And I pray that each and every person here will wake up tomorrow, God, and seek you first and your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.